This is KVNF's regional newscast for Thursday, October 21st. I'm Gavin Dahl. Congressmember Lauren Boebert, who represents most of our listening area in the 3rd Congressional District, made corrections to errors in several campaign finance filings with the Federal Election Commission again this week. The Grand Junction Sentinel's Charles Ashby reports she was responding to a warning letter from the FEC late last week that the closing balance from her 2020 year-end filing didn't match the opening balance for her first report of 2021. The difference was $70,000. This is the fourth amendment to that year-end report she's had to make, according to the Sentinel. Plus, Boebert also filed an amended report in her April filing, which covers the months of January, February, and March 2021. Colorado cities and counties have begun signing on to receive funds from the recent settlement with five pharmaceutical companies held to account for their role in the opioid crisis. On Monday, Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser announced Arvada and Commerce City approved the legal agreement as part of the $26 billion multi-state settlement. The Denver Post reports other municipalities are expected to follow suit. The $400 million Colorado is due to receive from McKesson, Amerisource, Bergen, Cardinal Health, Johnson & Johnson, and Purdue Pharma will begin to redress the devastation of communities across the state. Ski resorts are reviving the J-1 visa program, bringing workers from the Southern Hemisphere to fill seasonal jobs. Last year, the number of J-1 visa workers coming to Colorado during their summer break fell by 97% because of the coronavirus. In 2019, the Trump administration placed a ban on visa workers. The Colorado Sun reports wages and perks are up at every Colorado ski resort this year as resorts are scrambling to fill thousands of jobs and find housing for workers. The COVID travel ban on both visitors and workers from 33 countries will be lifted in November. Aspen Skiing Company, for example, hires 1,500 seasonal workers every year. An hour of Tuesday's Delta City Council meeting was spent on a proclamation designating October as LGBTQ Pride History Month. The Delta County Independent reports Mayor Nathan Clay prefaced the proclamation by stating there seemed to be a misunderstanding. Routine proclamations are not voted on by council. They're simply read upon request. Also, they're not written by the council, but submitted by people or groups. Public comments for and against the proclamation illustrated there remains opposition to visibility, dignity, and equality for the queer community in Delta. Still, several people spoke in favor of the proclamation, which seeks in part to eliminate prejudice. You can read Lucas Vader's reporting about the controversy in the DCI. Area residents need to begin getting comfortable with 10-digit dialing ahead of a transition coming this weekend to local phone systems. Back in June, when the change was first announced, KVNF's Apollo Rodriguez spoke to Delta County Emergency Management Coordinator Chris Stewart about why the change is needed. Here's that story once again.
10-digit dialing will soon be the new standard for local phone calls in Delta County. Residents should start the transition into dialing 970 before the rest of their number now to allow themselves time to get used to this new way to dial locally.
So the underlying basis for the 10-digit dialing code is the FCC approved the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline of dialing 988. They need all area codes that are close to the 988 to have the 10-digit dialing.
That was Chris Stewart, Emergency Management Coordinator. This transition will be put into place on October 24th of this year. For KVNF News, I'm Apollo Rodriguez.
For over 23,000 active registered voters in Delta County and about 200 voters in Montrose County who live outside of Crawford in the Fruitland Mesa area, ballots include a question regarding funding for Delta Library, known as 7A. It reads, quote, "Shall Delta County Public Library taxes be increased by $0 annually for collection beginning in 2022 and thereafter?" Then continues, quote, "And in order to sustain all library revenues allowed by law, shall the district's total operating mill levy be adjusted annually to offset net tax revenue losses resulting from reductions to the residential real estate assessment rate of 7.15% and the commercial real estate assessment rate of 29%. Finally, Issue 7A concludes, quote, "And shall all district revenues be collected, retained, and spent, notwithstanding any limitation or restriction of Article 10, Section 20 of the Colorado Constitution, or without regard to the 5.5% property tax revenue limitation of Section 29-1-301, CRS, or any other law." Now, this seems confusing when you see it on the page, and may sound more complicated when I read it out loud, but it's pretty simple. Delta County Library District is asking voters to stabilize revenue by leaving current rates in place. That's it. Last year, Colorado voters repealed the Gallagher Amendment, which previously set constant rates for real estate assessment. This year, the Colorado legislature approved Senate Bill 293, which impacts property tax collection. And this election season, if the statewide ballot item known as Proposition 120 passes, it would reduce revenues for the library too. So the Delta County Library District is asking voters to lock in current rates. This is not a new tax increase. No opponents to 7A filed comments with Delta County Clerk's Office before the September 17th deadline. The county's Tabor notice to voters only includes comments in support of 7A. Last night, the Delta County Library District's Board of Directors voted to formally approve a resolution supporting 7A. I spoke to Board President Jess Deegan after the meeting in Cedar Edge and asked about the significance of maintaining the current funding level.
The most important thing is it stabilizes the money that we receive, which fluctuates from year to year, and it makes it almost impossible for us to plan, trying to predict what you're going to do next year when you don't know what your income is going to be. It's not a good way to function. So that's what we're trying to do.
The Library District is an employer with staffing at 5 branches. Can you talk about the potential impact just from a governance perspective of an unpredictable funding stream when you think about staffing needs, for example?
2 years ago, we actually had to reduce the number of hours available, and we still haven't recovered from that because our funding had gone down a little bit. We're moving back towards being pre-COVID hours, but we still haven't been able to get that funding back to the level that we need so that we can open up and have even more hours restored. So it's very critical. And our hours are really based on the number of employees that we can have in the building.
And can you just talk briefly about some of the other potential impacts of services if 7A fails?
The one thing we never want to talk about is closing a library, but it's one of the things we've had on the table as we've discussed our limited resources. At some point in the last year, we actually haven't met state requirements because we haven't been able to be open enough. And if we can't have the staff, then something's got to give. And that would probably be one of the libraries. And that would probably be the toughest decision that we've ever had to make. I mean, which library do you want to choose that's not going to be open? And that doesn't mean we don't provide services. It means it becomes harder for us to provide the services because we don't have a locale in each of the areas. Libraries are kind of the cornerstone of democracy and independent thinking. And without them, I don't know where our country will be going. It's very important that we pass this ballot measure. We believe this is what's going to save our libraries and keep them running.
Thanks for speaking to KVNF.
Sure.
Delta County libraries have posted new hours for the season. All 5 branches have eliminated midday closures. That does it for Thursday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.